I know you are, but what am I?
Tell me, have you seen a sunset turn into a sunrise? Kiss right through the night, 'cause we should try that sometime. Hold you till the morning, but if I said I'm falling, would you just reply? I know you are, but what am I?
The Cure with Amy Cabo. Life can bring many difficult situations, domestic violence, addictions, poverty, and even sexual abuse by your loved ones. Welcome, Amy Cabo and The Cure.
Good afternoon and welcome to The Cure. I'm your host, Amy Cabo, joined by Boris. In everything we do, we can't help it. Our show is available live on the radio through our app called The Cure on our website, GodIsTheCure.com, and we're broadcasting live from Miami via satellite. Also on Facebook, search for God is a Cure or click on send message button and send us a question or a comment. We would love to hear from you. This show deals with suffering and the tenacity of the human spirit, the will to survive, and the courage to keep moving forward despite any obstacle. With the help of God and each other, we do provide testimonials to let people know that they're not alone. And in this show, the testimony started with me having been a survivor from child abuse well into adulthood. We also have professionals in the medical field and inspirational speakers that are willing to help and give valuable information, because education is key. Transparency is needed, and I believe we can help each other. For me, my healing came from God, but other forms of healing are presented as well to service everyone. Life can be very challenging, but always know that we are not alone. Whenever I'm not feeling well or scared, all I can hear is, "I know you are. But what am I?" Have you seen a sunset turn into a sunrise? Have you seen a new day? Have you experienced love? It puts things into perspective. The creator of it all. If you're falling, listen attentively as you hear those words. "I know you are, but just trust that I am God." Today's show will focus on being saved by grace, a very topic dear to my heart because I can relate. But consider this: can a paralyzed man bound to a wheelchair suddenly walk? Can a woman who has 95% chance of dying at a healthy 34-year-old still be alive? Can someone who is being actively killed by two men survive? These things were only possible through the grace of God. Proving that God always provides and heals us through His generous grace, no matter what we're going through, is our special guest, Margaret Green. Margaret Green is a mother, teacher, preacher, inspirational speaker, entrepreneur, and 3-time author. She's a mentor to many across the world, host of a 15-minute talk show and inspiration radio broadcast on Cat's Hallelujah 1600 AM station, as featured on the Worldwide Television Christian Broadcast Network, CBN 700 Club. Love her motto, which is, "Everyone has a purpose, regardless of their past story." In fact, she claims it. It says it in the Bible. Margaret, thank you for being on the show. You're now live on The Cure.
Thank you for inviting me, Amy.
What an honor it is to have you, Margaret. I did see something about you, a clip, somebody that had interviewed you, and that's how I learned of you. And you have an amazing story to tell, things that I've never even heard of. I felt that I connected to you is that you did grow up knowing God, and you always prayed to Him. But your faith would be challenged many times throughout your life. Can you tell me what it was like growing up?
Well, growing up, especially when first being told about Christ and His love that He had for all of His people, well, just the whole world, period, you know, I wanted to experience that love, and I wanted to know Him. Despite the things that I had experienced as a little girl, you know, I was abused and I was molested. So I really desired to know what that love of Christ felt like, because for a long time I felt like I was void of that. So it created a strong desire for Him.
Well, when you were little, I believe your father was an alcoholic. And your mother left with your two younger siblings, left you behind at 8 years old with your alcoholic father.
So
at that young age, you even attempted suicide. Things were really rough.
8 years old.
You were only eight.
So eight years old, I had decided that I was tired of being mistreated, being abused. And so I decided to take some pills that belonged to my father. And, of course, you know, the Lord brought me back from that. You know, I believe I died for about 1 or 2 minutes or so before they got me back. And so my question, even after that, was, God, why am I here? You know, what is your reason? I knew nothing about purpose, but I asked about reason. You know, what was your reason for bringing me back to this? So, but again, it created a much deeper hunger for Him at a young age. And so when I did give my life to God, you know, he began to speak to me. But then again, the pain and the hurt was still there. So I didn't understand. You know, I thought God was going to be like this knight in shining armor that would come and rescue me from all the pain and all the agony, but it didn't happen like that. And so I blame God for a lot of the pain that I experienced from the abuse of my father and from those that had molested me.
Right. Yeah. And that's what had created you some barriers from maybe growing closer to God, because you had come close to Him as a kid, you knew Him, and then these things, when they happen, they can be very disheartening. And I know that there was a time in my life that I had strayed away from God, and I did pray to God, and I thought that He was maybe listening. But then when things keep happening, you tend to go astray. And what kind of barriers do you believe kept you from staying close to God?
I believe it was the barrier of rejection. I had a lot of rejection. I had a lot of anger. I had a lot of insecurity, and you know, and so a lot of that, and neglect. I felt God had rejected me because I felt like others had rejected me. It was God saying He rejected me. You know, at that point, I felt like I was unlovable. You know, I was, you know, just way too damaged for God to bring back in love. And so that created a barrier for me, being in that mindset of you're unlovable and you're not worthy.
Yes, I understand. And your life was tough because also you were a single mother and the things that you had to do to survive. And then you didn't think much of yourself because of what you had gone through in life. So then, because of the things that you had to do to survive, you felt even more unworthy of God's love. But you came to a point that you realized that God's love is unconditional. Did you not?
Yes. Oh, yes. So one night, you know, at this time, I had got off into drugs. I had got off into stripping. And so I believe one night I was told we were going to a party. And although there was a strong reserve of not to go, and I believe this was the Lord forewarning me, you know, oftentimes when we feel like God is not with us, you know, he shows us little signs and, you know, things to show us, hey, I'm with you, you know, if you just pay attention. And yes. So there was a strong urging, you know, not to go.
And, this is too much of an important story, and we're going right into break. So please just hold on to that thought, and we'll continue this in a second.
Okay.
Margaret, because this is the story that I couldn't believe when I heard it. I was in shock. Miracles do happen.
Yes. Miracles are real. You have an amazing story too.
Thanks.
Right back with Amy Cavill and The Cure.
Life can bring many difficult situations. Domestic violence, addictions, poverty, and even sexual abuse by your loved ones. The issue is not stay there, but to overcome all obstacles and show that with the love of God, your husband, and your family, you can succeed. Love is the answer, God is the cure, reveals Amy Cabo's life. A warrior who didn't give up and achieved the dream of her life. You can get to know more about her and her story on GodIsTheCure.com or buying her book on Amazon.com.
They're trying to shoot down angels. They're trying to pull their wings off so they can fly. And oh, but she's so brave though. Just like a tornado, she's taking us by storm.
Now we will continue with Amy Cabo and The Cure.
Welcome back to the show. For those that are tuning in, I'm Amy Cabo, and this is The Cure. We're talking to Margaret about being saved by grace. We're live on your radio and also on Facebook. Later, the show will be available on podcasts. Just search for The Cure on any podcast channel. Even if they try to shoot down angels and pull their wings off so they can't fly, she's still so brave though. And like a tornado, she's taking us by storm. And you can't stop the girl from going. You can't stop the world from knowing. The truth will set you free. Why? Because God doesn't give up. Margaret, what we were talking about another time in your life where your faith was greatly challenged, that you were tested and tried beyond belief.
Yeah. Well, this was a time, so I was getting ready to go to I was invited to go to a party. And so, like I was saying before we went to break, you know, sometimes the Lord will warn you or he will send you signs that he's with you, although we may not believe that God is with us. And so I had a strong urge to stay home. But again, you know, when you're in a state of rejection, and also rejection brings about a certain amount of rebellion as well. And so you tend not to listen when God is speaking. Or maybe there's that barrier, like we talked about, that's there that keeps you from hearing or truly hearing the voice of God.
Yes.
And so I went to this party, and when I got there, it really wasn't a party. I was set up by someone that I thought was a good friend of mine, and there were the men that were there. They, you know, the guy raped me and my friend, and he told us that, you know, when he was done, you know, we weren't going to live after that. They put us in the car, and they drove us around the neighborhood, and they were discussing back and forth where they were going to dump our bodies. So at this time, the only thing I could think about was the saving power of Jesus Christ. You know, I knew at that time, although I felt like God had rejected me, I felt like he could save me. And I felt at that moment that that was my only hope. He was my only hope. And so I began to call on his name. So the more they talked about it, the more they discussed where they were going to dump our bodies, the more one of the young men began to punch me in the back of the head and tell me to be quiet. God could not hear me. I refused to believe that God could hear me, although he told me that. And I called on the name of Jesus. And the harder he hit me, the louder I called. And
amazing.
I remember, you know, closing my eyes and just saying, you know, Lord, I need you right now. Jesus, I need you right now. You know, they can take my body, but they can't have my life. And
they
that's all I remember, you know, saying to the Lord. And eventually they threw us out of the car. So at that moment, I said, God is real. His love for me is real. And maybe I need to find out what it is God is, you know, looking for, you know, what it is he wants. So that was one of the biggest moments or life-changing moments in my life where the love of God, the love of Jesus Christ came in and really saved me.
And it was filled out for you. I mean, you weren't saying John, you were saying Jesus.
Yeah.
And it's an amazing thing because I not too long ago, I had run into another story like that where a little boy was kidnapped and he was singing his mother's favorite gospel song, a Christian song. Yeah. And the kid just kept singing it. He's being kidnapped. He's a little boy already in the car. Kidnappers taking him away. Tells the kid to stop singing. Can't stand hearing that song. But it's the kid's favorite song, and he's full of hope and faith, and he doesn't care if God's going to save him, because God said he would, so that's good enough for him. You know how kids are. And he kicked him out of the car.
Wow.
So I think the enemy does not like to hear about God. I call him pickpocket. Sometimes devil can be scary for people. You know?
Yes. But,
I'm grateful for the times that I had nothing and I was alone in my life, and it was extremely scary because you're right, I had no other choice but to turn to God. I had no one. Mm-hmm. God had no other choice but to help me, and since he said he would, now he has to, but I had to do my part. That was the trick. You can't be going astray and doing the wrong thing and expect for things to turn out well. You know, some people consider it like bad karma or something, but it's really leaving yourself open to pickpocket every time you're not doing what's right.
Mm-hmm.
So
absolutely, I agree.
And even if you keep close to God, then there's no reason for fear. There's no reason for worrying. Mm-hmm. Girl, I have to tell you, I would have suffered. I would have saved myself so many years of suffering had I only trusted God more. Because I was that single mother alone in the world who did things I wasn't proud of to survive. I know what that's like.
Wow.
And it's just sometimes these things, I do believe that everything happens for a reason. Because I've never met a better person than someone who has suffered. Mm-hmm. And that's the honest to goodness truth. But that's not it. That's not where your challenges end. There's more.
No.
And not only that, you're not the only miracle. Your husband was a miracle as well. It's like, girl, you're just, it's amazing. And it's like I tell my husband, whenever he wants to stress or he wants to worry, I tell him, how many times does it have to turn out all right? Or how many times do you have to be surprised? Or does God have to surprise you for you to finally get it? And say, okay, I get it. But,
absolutely.
Then you find love. You get married. Yeah. You have the family you've always dreamed of, and you're thinking, oh, good, now it's going to be good, right?
Yes, absolutely. It's like,
except
okay,
what happens now. 2 years later, you newlyweds?
Yes, you know, it was like a dream come true. You know, it's like, okay, God, you know, you're lining things up in my life. You're speaking to me about purpose and ministry.
Yeah. Well, you know what? Before you even go
together,
people have to understand, this is 2 years into marriage. You just got over all these things, going through a hard life, being a single mother, being almost killed. I mean, you've had nothing but suffering up to this point. Now, finally, you get married, and this is your big break. Your life takes a drastic turn 2 years later. We'll talk about this when we get back. When we're back, we will continue talking with Margaret about being saved by grace. I'm Amy Cabo, and this is The Cure.
We'll be right back with Amy Cabo and The Cure. Continue with Amy Cabo and The Cure.
We're back. Thanks for joining us. I'm Amy Cabo, and this is The Cure. We're live every Saturday at 1 p.m., guys. Remember, and if you've been saved by grace, please give us a call, 866-34-TRUTH. Again, that's 866-348-7884. I believe God sees us every time. And most of all, I believe God sees the best of us and wants us to be happy. He also likes our style, so it doesn't hurt to do the monkey dance or dance all the time. And that's a song that makes me dance. But we're continuing our conversation with Margaret about her amazing life after being saved by God. Now, Margaret, you had a really rough start of a childhood, and then you were homeless for 6 years and almost killed and you just gone through so many hardships, but now you're married and you're finally a family and you have some sort of stability in your life. But then something happens 2 years later. You get severe abdominal pains. Tell me why.
Well, just having some intermittent pain in my abdomen. And so, you know, I kind of, you know how sometimes we pray, I don't know if you're like me, but sometimes I'll just pray a prayer because I've seen the healing power of Jesus Christ. And so it's like, okay, well, God, it's just a pain. I'll pray about it and maybe it'll go away. But then I noticed it kept coming back and it got a little worse. And so I went to the doctor's office and they told me that it may be appendicitis. And I said, okay, well, appendicitis, we could probably, you know, you can do something with that. And so they sent me for tests. And when they came back, they said, hey, we need to talk to you. And it was two doctors actually that came in the room this time. And I'm looking like, wow, appendicitis is
pretty serious. And she rebuked me a little bit for laughing and taking it lightly. And she said, "You don't have appendicitis." She said, "You have an abdominal aortic aneurysm that is dissecting." And so, of course, I knew what an aneurysm was, and I knew it was bad news, but I didn't know how bad the news was. And she said, "You don't understand how serious this is." She said, "Your main artery that pumps blood from your heart to all of your organs has a tear in it, and that you need to have surgery." And she said, "This is considered a medical emergency. Most people don't, you know, when they have this, you know, they die. They don't even know. We don't even discover until after the fact that this is what has happened." And so I made an appointment with the vascular surgeon. In the meantime, I'm trusting God and praying.
And this is a 5% chance of survival right now, right? With the aneurysm.
Well, yes. Well, it came right after. So I was leaving the doctor's office, and then I was called back, and they said, "Hey, we need you to get to the hospital." And I said, "Well, why?" And they said, "Well, not only do you have a dissecting aortic aneurysm, but you have multiple blood clots in both your lungs and one next to your heart."
Wow. That's
so
crazy.
So at that moment, I'm like, wow, okay. So I get to the hospital, and they tell me, "So we just want to let you know, if we, because of the dissecting aortic aneurysm, if we remove the blood clots, the aneurysm will burst. But if we repair the aneurysm, the blood clots will travel and you'll die."
And they had to do something. Otherwise, you die.
Yeah.
Yes. There's no not doing anything.
They couldn't do anything. Right?
Wow.
Nothing they could do. And they told me, the only thing we could do was wait. And so I said, wait on what? And so they pulled my husband into the hallway and told my husband, you need to prepare, you guys need to make arrangements because your wife has about a 95% chance of not making it.
Wow, that must have been so heart-wrenching.
Yes. And so my husband, being himself and already experiencing the power of God, you know, because he had been paralyzed and healed out of the wheelchair, you know, he knew God could heal me, but his question to God was, "Were you going to heal her?" You know, and so they came in the room, and that's when they told me, "You have about a 95% chance that you won't make it." And that is that is news you don't want to hear when God is talking to you about purpose. So you're like, "Wait a minute, how
what happened
did
to my
you
purpose?
Have purpose?"
Yeah.
When death is being, when you're being
in my doorstep, when death is on my doorstep, yeah. Wow.
And so,
but
Lord,
you say God spoke to you.
Yeah.
Because you
so
were.
God begins. Mm-hmm.
Because you were, how many times were you hospitalized?
28.
Wow. 28 times.
Well, I said something too.
Which one of those times did God speak to you?
God spoke to me actually during all the time.
Great.
So that's
good.
Each time he would say, "Write this down." There were things that God would give me to write down. And they were all, and it's so crazy because God would do the opposite of what the situation is saying. He would have me write down things about life and about living life, purpose. And I'm like, "God, why are you having me write this down?"
When you're dying,
you're
right?
Constantly saying,
supposedly.
Yes, when you're saying this.
you had a lot of faith. That's good.
And he told me, and he said, "Now there is something I need you to do." And I said, "Well, what is that, God?" He said, "Well, first thing, I'm going to use what was meant to kill you to heal you." He said, "I did not allow this to happen for you to die, but I allowed it to happen so you can be truly healed." And then God began to reveal to me that I had so much unforgiveness in my heart for those who had hurt me, those who had abused me, those who had molested me, you know, just all of that in my heart, you know, towards my father, my mother, my, you know, every, you know, anyone who had done harm, you know, he revealed, hey, you know, you've been operating with a numb heart. You know, you felt like because you couldn't feel it, that it was no longer there. And God said, I've come to unnumb the heart so you can know that the pain is still there. And so he did that. And so I had to go through a process of forgiving everyone who had ever hurt me, everyone who had, you know, every hit, every punch to the face, every, you know, everything, you know. And so, and I had to let it all go and truly forgive and love. And so once that happened, you know, I told God, I said, okay, God, you know, I've forgiven. And I decided in my mind and in my heart that, God, I'm going to continue to do your will, even if I have to die trying.
Nice.
And as hard as those words were, because those words were so hard, because
sure.
I knew I had a promise, those words were hard to say, because in one breath, God has given me life to write and to speak, but yet, even though I've forgiven, you know, right away, the situation wasn't changing. And so, but I knew I had a promise, Amy. And one thing I understood about promise will interrupt death. Promise will interrupt things in your life. Because one thing I know, when God promises something, his word has to come to pass. When he releases a word for your life, it does not return to him void. And me dying was meant that God's word was void concerning my life at that point. And so that's something I held on to. And so I would say about 30 days after, maybe a month after that, God said, if you can live with the 5%, I'll make the 5% 100%. And
wow.
I said, okay, what does that mean? He said, if you can live with the 5% chance that they gave you to live, Margaret, my daughter, I'll make up the rest. I'll make it 100%. That I received that word, Amy. I woke up and I told my husband, I believe God performed a miracle. And
the pain
said,
went away.
The pain, everything went away.
Everything went away.
I woke up, everything. I felt there was like God had went in and done spiritual surgery.
That is
amazing.
But the aneurysm went away too?
The aneurysm shrunk.
Well, and I'm getting, yes.
By itself.
I'm gonna get to that, yes.
Wow.
It just, yeah.
Wow. I've never seen that. You know, I'm a doctor and that's crazy.
Well,
wow.
We're just beating you to it because we're about to go into break again. But that's amazing. I don't even know how even doctors can explain that.
Yeah, they can't.
Well, I mean, my doctors, oh my God.
They must have been beside themselves. How does that happen in today's world? When we're back, we will continue talking with Margaret about being saved by grace. I'm Amy Cabo, and this is The Cure.
We will be right back with Amy Cabo and The Cure.
Love is the answer, God is the cure, reveals Amy Cabo's life, a warrior who didn't give up and achieved the dream of her life. You can get to know more about her and her story on GodIsTheCure.com or buying her book on Amazon.com.
Continue with Amy Cabo and The Cure.
We're back. Thanks for being with us. I'm Amy Cabo, and this is The Cure. You can listen every Saturday at 8 a.m. Eastern on your radio or at The Cure and all social medias. And the shows are also available as a podcast later on. just look for The Cure. And you can also message us on Facebook. Look for God is a Cure. One can strive for perfection, but it's not possible to be perfect. It's not even necessary to be a saint. I don't want to be considered good or even beautiful, but just simply a sanctuary to be the one others can turn to and most can count on, to be the one that brings about unity and emits hope. I don't care to be successful in this life, but pure, holy, tried, and true. And I play this song because it's very interesting that our dear guest, Margaret Green, not only has gone through all this, but Margaret, you are known as a prophet. I believe you found your purpose because you did survive the aneurysm and the blood. What happened to the blood clots? They just disappeared also?
Disappeared.
Wow, wow. So, and then you have a husband. You have a husband that is paralyzed, wheelchair-bound, and suddenly walks?
Yes. So
I never heard that one. I never heard that story. How does that happen?
Well, guys, before we got married, he was in a car accident, and he was ran off the road by a tractor trailer, and he was crushed in the car, and when he was in a coma for about 2 or 3 weeks, and when he awakened, the left side of his body was paralyzed, and the doctors told him he would never walk again. And so 3 years later, on an Easter Sunday, he was called up to do the benediction, and so the Lord had told him he was going to work a miracle. And so my husband didn't know that he was the miracle that God was talking about. He just thought that, you know, since God hadn't brought him out of the wheelchair in all that time, you know, he was going to serve God anyway. You know, he's just a man of faith that he just loves the Lord in life. And when I,
nice.
Well, so anyway, yeah. So he gets up there, he rolls himself up with the arm, the hand that's working, which is the right hand. And at this time, I believe it's called muscle, oh my goodness, it's when the hand draws up. So his left hand was drawn up. He had lost all of his muscle in his
tone,
on the left side
all
of
his muscle
body.
Tone, right?
Yes, or, so okay. All of that dystrophy, I think it's called.
Yes, muscle dystrophy.
So, yes. So he had that on the left side of his body as well. So if God was going to work a miracle, it was going to be a big, huge miracle. And so, but he got up there and he rolled himself up and he said, God said everyone needs to close their eyes and just give him praise. And as the people begin to praise God on one accord, you know, he shot up right out of the wheelchair and walked down the middle aisle. And when he got to the end of the aisle, the left side of his body grew to match the right side of the body. What an amazing miracle.
Wow.
Went back to the...
Wait, he just like stood up out of the wheelchair.
Yeah. The most hilarious part, and I love God for this, because God is comical as well. As grateful and loving, my husband pushed his wheelchair into the doctor's office, and everybody almost had a heart attack because they felt like, you know, what happened to you? What happened to you?
That is unheard of.
So on his chart, it's really big, and it says miracle on his chart.
Well, no wonder you would find your purpose, Margaret, because you created a website called Kingdom Created, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And you have three books, and can you tell us what your three books are about and tell us how people can learn more about you?
Yes. So the book, the writings that God had given me over the 30 days, that time, is speak into your own life. It's a 30-day prophetic and inspirational devotional to purpose. And so I took what God had given me, and that was the reason he gave it to me. He said, hey, you know, while I have you down, I'm going to allow you to write this book. And this book is going to help activate purpose in the lives of everyone who reads it. And he says, and so no matter what state they're in, whether they've been given a diagnosis of death, whether they've been given a 5% chance, whether they've been given a 10% chance, I'm going to make up a difference. I'm going to make whatever that percent is 100%. And wow. So I wrote the book, there is a testimony. One young lady, she was four stage cancer, was cured. She read the book. And, you know, I got the testimony back, and she's healed. And so it's whatever God is doing, he's making up the difference.
Anytime I've heard an incredible testimony or any kind of miracle that has happened, there's always somebody praying or there's some kind of faith behind it.
Mm-hmm.
It's always been my experience in life. I mean, I know that you can go through chemotherapy, and I've heard of stage 4 cancer being cured, and that's an amazing thing. And even the story of Jesus with the little boy, and what's very new to me that I've never heard is someone paralytic suddenly being able to walk. So it's just an incredible testimony that you have, Margaret. And you found your purpose because you're an amazing proof of God's unconditional love and yes. His amazing grace.
Oh, absolutely. And I cherish it every day. And I thank God every day because, you know, if it wasn't for his love, you know, I wouldn't be here. And I really feel like if we truly understood the power of God's love, you know, we would all have life.
And also
sometimes we can, yeah.
You know what it's like to be on the other side. You know what it's like to be without God's love. You know how scary life can be, and you know the difference. And that's what's really, really helpful, is that you have walked other people's shoes. They can't say, oh, because your life was good and that's why it's easy to love God. No, you were tried. You were tested and tried. And I don't believe it was ever God. I never blame God. I believe it was pickpocket. I believe everything bad that happens in our life is because pickpocket wants to try to separate us away from God as much as possible. When we're born, we're as close to God as possible. Little by little, through life or life circumstances, pickpockets are at his best, lying to us, deceiving us, trying to separate us in whichever way we can. But God has this wonderful way of turning bad things into miracles, into blessings.
Yes.
And I mean, there's always, and I bet you, for every situation, if you can really, really, really think hard about it, you can find the good side, or you can find the bright side of it. It's just time, sometimes we're so convinced by what we might think it might be. But in every situation, because in every situation, God turns every situation into something good. I don't know how he does it. It's kind of incredible, actually. And so what are the names of your books? And also, I'm going to have it on my website, God is the Cure. What are the names of the books?
So it's Speaking to Your Own Life. It's a 30-day devotional, prophetic 30-day devotional. And then the second one is Breaking the Word Curse. That book is comprised of scriptures and prayers that break curses off of your life. A lot of the times we may believe words that the enemy has spoken, which bring about curses over our lives. And so that book is very powerful because nice. I was one that would speak different things over my life because of how hard the situation was. not realizing I was speaking the word of the enemy instead of the word of God over my life, because God had life for me. And the enemy, of course, as you call him, the pickpocketer, he has, you know, he
pickpockets souls. Yes.
Yeah.
No, so definitely I'm going to have this information, how to get in touch with you, how to listen to your show, and how to get your books, because I find that it's a very important read. And believe it or not, Margaret, you've been excellent. Thank you so much. We've come to the end of the show. Thank you so much, Margaret. And thank you to our amazing audio producer, Jasper. Thank you.
Thank you guys for having me.
God bless. For more information on Margaret Green, please go to GodIsTheCure.com and look under guests. Let's pray. Dear God, in the name of Jesus, we ask that you come against strongholds, demonic influences, spiritual attacks, and bondages. We believe you have the miraculous power and strength to conquer the darkest enemy, break the strongest barrier, and silence the greatest deceiver. Your name is worthy, glorious, almighty in power, and we claim victory today in your name. Send your mightiest warriors to fight this battle for us. Lord, to you the darkness shines as bright as the day. Shine your light upon us, free us, give us peace, and snatch us back from the enemy's grip. Amen. This is Amy Cabo. You have been listening to The Cure. Thank you for being with us. Until next week, much love.
To The Cure with Amy Cabo. For more information or to get Amy's book, Love is the Answer, God is the Cure, or to listen to the podcasts of previous shows, visit GodIsTheCure.com.